What do you think of familiar faces as this week's assignment?
Sure. That's a good one.
All right. I almost wrote familiar feces. That's something different. Getting back to the Germans. Hey kids, happy Tuesday. It is episode 95 of On Taking Pictures. Always a good day, right?
Absolutely. It's snowing and raining again here in New York City, so.
And it's supposed to be, I think, 87 today in Southern California.
Yeah, bite me.
But you know what? What we need to do is we need to figure out a way to package up the snow melt from the East Coast and truck it over here because we don't have any water.
Yeah, I'll take the water. Yeah, sure. Okay. Then I'm happy where I am.
So we're here each and every week. We're talking about snow and weather and photography. Not necessarily in that order. My name is Jeffrey Sidoris from fadedandblurred.com. And with me, the snowbound Bill Wadman.
It's more just slushy and messy and gross out here.
Did people ever call you Billy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
My sister sometimes, my mother, my father.
And did they ask you not to be a hero?
Well, you know what it is? I was Billy because my father was also Bill, right?
Right.
So there had to be a differentiation. I never really liked it, though. Although, you know what? It's funny. When I was a kid, it used to bother me just to say Billy. It felt so diminutive, right? That was that's the whole point. But
did you insist on William as a child?
Oh, never. No.
Okay.
I mean, to my friends, I was Bill. But
right.
You ever say your own name and it sounds funny to you?
Yes.
You're just like, this is what I've been called for the last 39 years, and yet it sounds so strange when I say it out loud.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know. That's a whole thing. My name gets into like bowling shirts and it's a thing. It's a thing.
What, you buy bowling shirts with your name on it?
No, it's just like, you know, like.
It just, wait, you're on always a bowling team?
No, it just reminded me.
Have been since
me.
The 60s?
My grandfather was a bowler.
How is duck pin bowling a thing out west?
I've never heard of that.
Okay, I think it's a Northeast thing. It's like these like squat little bowling pins and like smaller, like almost bocce balls.
Oh, huh? No, never heard of it.
Anyway, go ahead.
But we do have there's a bowling alley in Montrose, which is about a half hour away. It's near Pasadena. They still have pin boys to reset the pins.
Really?
Instead of the machines.
How much do they charge for that?
I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been there.
Anyway.
Yeah.
On to some actual stuff. What do we
Hey, last week's assignment, After Dark. People are loving that. Good stuff in there.
Really good stuff in there.
Yeah. Yeah. So we want to just, say thank you again for putting these things up. You guys are putting some really fantastic thing. And, you know, I love the interpretations that are happening. Some people, like we talked a little bit a minute ago about Jason Peterson. He's just barely after dark, you know, looking through the icicles at the sunset. But then you've got, you know, some people in the dead of night and
like Wayne puts this really dark shoe on the street.
Yeah.
That's good.
Lots of really great interpretation as there has been since we started doing these. So really well done. So the next one, we're going to lighten it up a little bit. How about friendly faces? Or I'm sorry, familiar faces.
Familiar faces. That's nice.
Familiar faces.
I like that. Yeah.
Familiar faces.
So again, it could be the guy at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Or it could be your SIGOV.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
So have fun with that. Familiar faces. Let's see. We've
could
seen
be Barack Obama.
Yeah, we've seen the what in your lives. We've seen where you live. We've seen some of the interesting places. Now let's see the people who inhabit those places.
Ooh, portraits.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, familiar faces.
All right. I
because, like, you know, that. Bill, sometimes it's just time to try something different.
Sometimes it is time to try something different. Why? Is that our next topic of discussion?
You see how I did that? That was a segue.
That was a segue.
Yeah. Matt Lauer calls that a segue.
Matt Lauer's never segued anything. Do you think Matt Lauer gets sick of being Matt Lauer?
I get sick of Matt Lauer being
like,
Matt Lauer.
Like, do you think that, you know, what's his name? Who's the guy who just left the Tonight Show?
Jay Leno?
Jay Leno. Do you think Jay Leno was just like, oh, I'm sick and tired of sitting at this desk and making corny jokes at people and, you know?
I don't know. What
Or do you think he was like, you know, I love doing my thing and then I get to go home and play with my 600 cars?
Maybe. The thing that I would find most frustrating about being in that arena is you only get like 5 minutes with a person.
Yeah.
And they're typically there to promote some sort of vehicle. You
right.
Know? So you've got to work that in. And I don't know. That's why
late night shows
Charlie
are not.
Rose,
yeah. Charlie know? Rose and Jay Leno are two completely different things.
Yeah.
Jay Leno is an advertisement.
Right.
Right. Where, you know, with a funny anecdote that we came up with before the show that we can tell about how you got stuck in a bathroom last week, you know, where Charlie Rose, and you know what, to be fair, Charlie Rose often interviews CEOs and stuff who are never giving anything but the party line.
Right.
So it's not like Charlie Rose is investigative.
The time frame. I like having a little more time.
Yeah.
You know, or like George Strombolopoulos or Gian Gomeshi or people like that are I like the variety of guests where you'll have, you know, it's not just actors and actresses.
Yeah. Here's the Thing is pretty good too.
Although Here's the Thing is good. They're not doing new ones as often as I'd like.
Yeah. I think he was going to give it up to do that other show on MSNBC, but that fell through. I don't know. You know, I don't know what's up with that, but you're right. The whole, doing longer form stuff is more fun, but I don't know, trying something different. You know, I was thinking about this. I saw it in the show notes and I was thinking about it. And is the answer when you think that you've done as much as you can in what you're doing, or when you stop believing in what you're doing currently, you know?
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
is, you know, a lot of the listeners I would imagine are doing very similar types of photography.
To what they've done before.
Correct. Not to each other.
Okay. Right. Is there something inherently bad in that, wrong in that?
I don't think there's something inherently wrong with it, but okay, like let's take your 8x10 project, your recent 8x10 project.
Sure.
We were talking about it a little bit before the show.
Yeah.
When we were talking about it initially, and again, they're very nice photographs. I'm not trying to take anything away from it. But I was thinking that you were going to go in a different direction than you did, just because the medium and the process behind that medium is such a different approach to the craft as you're normally going through.
Okay. Keep going.
Is that fair?
You know what's funny about it is that, I mean, you made the point that you think they look like my pictures, which of course they do. I took them, right? But the thing is that I think that I tend to shoot my normal stuff in a very similar way that I would shoot 8x10. I don't think that it's that I was shooting 8x10 like I shoot 35mm. I think it's that I tend to shoot 35mm in medium format in a slower, more deliberate, more formal way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it's going the other direction. What I considered the experiment of doing that was not about doing something different necessarily in the work, and was more about doing something different in the technique, in the sense that shooting 8x10, which is just a very different experience, right, than mm-hmm. shooting small cameras. Plus, I mean, you know, it's expensive. It's almost $15 every time you press the shutter.
Right.
So you can't experiment too much without spending a whole lot of money for nothing, you know.
But see, that's the side that I erred on is you spent $15,
right?
And to my eye, they don't look that much different than what you normally shoot. So
yeah,
so
it's funny
what was
because
the impetus to spend that.
You know, it's funny because some people commented on some of those pictures and said, "Wow, I can tell this looks completely different than smaller film." Or smaller sensors,
mm-hmm.
You know, and including some people who, you know, have either used these cameras before or know or whatever, or some people who haven't. And honestly, to me, the overall, how do I say this? Yes, I think that I could take most of these pictures without an 8x10. I can show you 100% crops of some of those scans, and it's literally, you know, detail on eyelashes from across the room. Yeah, I mean, it's scary amounts of details. Right.
And that's fine.
Which is why people use those cameras in the first place, is when they needed mad amounts of detail, right? Or needed to shoot stuff at the exact size that it was going to be in the magazine, because upsizing and downsizing was so expensive in post and all kinds of reasons like that. Mm-hmm. The guy whose studio we were at was actually saying that back in the day, they actually used to put masks on the ground glass on the back of the camera so that they would actually resize the section, like, so they would have, say, a piece of paper on the ground glass with a frame on it, you know, like with a grease painted or grease penciled square. Okay. And say the picture needs to fit in this, and they'd actually move the camera and change the focal length to get the picture to fit exactly in that space, so they could just do a one-to-one reproduction.
Okay.
It's like really interesting stuff like that. I will tell you that, you know, I used that camera. It was the first time I've used 8x10. I own a 4x5 rail camera, and I've used that a bunch. The process, the difference between the 4x5 and the 8x10 was much smaller than I imagined it being.
Mm-hmm.
Like much smaller. Like it was exactly the same thing, just bigger, you know, mm-hmm. which is what it should be. The other thing too is that, like, I'm showing, for example, on the blog post I wrote, where I show all 25 of them, I'm showing all 25 of them, you know.
Right.
If I were just going to show you the ones that really hit me, it would be 5 maybe mm-hmm. That I was really like, okay, these would go in my portfolio, you know. And 1 out of 5, that's not a bad ratio, you know.
I wonder if the number of subjects that you decided to work with took away from working through the process a little more. Okay. and seeing where you could go with it. Because you'd mentioned, well, you had 12 people, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I wasn't
doing this to do something to take different pictures. I was doing it to take pictures differently. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but then you just said it wasn't that much different than 4x5. So why spend, you know, what?
Well,
I
found out after the fact that it wasn't much different than 4x5. You know, like before and during it, you know, it's a different thing. There's also the matter that I was shooting with. There was another photographer there. The photographer whose camera and studio it was, Alex.
Right.
And we were handing stuff off to each other. Right. So, like, I would take a couple of pictures, then he would take the subject and take a couple of pictures. So it's not like there was a whole lot of time to do different lighting setups for each picture and take 15 minutes setting up lights. You know what I mean? So we decided on, like, a simple sort of thing to simplify it. Yeah. You know, I could have done something different, and maybe I will.
Getting back to the initial question, you've been, I think stagnating is probably too harsh, because we've talked about this a number of times offline, but you feel like you've said that you don't feel like you're gaining much traction relative to how much work you're doing.
Yeah. It's funny though, because I've actually, that feeling has been waning lately.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I let me get through to the point.
Okay.
Is that the time to try something different, or is that a time to try something different when you feel like what you're doing isn't working? Is it best to stay the course and work through it, or is it best to make an adjustment and try something else to see if that clicks?
That is the huge giant question, right? Because mm-hmm. you really could be right around the corner from having it work. You know, I think that there's a certain amount of faith involved mm-hmm. in what you're doing, that yes, I'm not getting exactly the kind of pictures I want to get right now doing this. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm trying to do. I'm not getting the results I want.
Are you talking about aesthetic results or results in the marketplace getting hired?
Let's say aesthetic results, because the marketplace is, that's a whole other thing.
Okay.
Although, I mean, I guess it's true there too, I guess, if you're specific, but I think that those things are related, but not necessarily interrelated, you know? I mean, as we know, people who make beautiful stuff who can't sell it at all, and then people who make crap who sell it for a lot of money, you know, just because it's a specific thing that somebody needs doesn't mean that it's actually good quality stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, but it does mean that to someone.
Yeah, I guess I'm just saying that, like, that you know, there's plenty of people taking really, really boring pictures that sell tons of copies because people need a picture of, you know, a t-shirt on a white background or whatever it is, you know?
Okay.
So, but I think from a personal point of view, I think that you have to have faith that the direction that you're going is the right direction. And if something induces you to turn, then turn. But I don't think you should turn because other people tell you to turn.
No. And I'm not saying that it's external at all. I'm more posing this question more from an internal standpoint of, you know, I've been doing X for 3 or 5 or whatever years. Yeah. And I don't feel like I'm gaining any ground. I think the aesthetics of it are great, but maybe the industry doesn't see where I'm coming from. So do I still stick to my guns and wait for the industry to come around, in my opinion?
Right.
Or do I go, you know what, maybe the problem is internal. Maybe my aesthetic barometer is a little off.
Yeah, but I think you could talk yourself into either of those things. And I think either of those things could be true in any similar example. It's sort of a Schrodinger cat sort of thing, you know. You could change and find something amazing. You could also change and then be like, wow, this isn't really what I want to be doing, you know.
Right.
So, you know, it could go either way. I tend to I tend to trust myself and not my doubts. Does that make sense? I think there are some people who are constantly looking for the negative thing in order to give feedback, where I tend to look for the positive thing and give feedback in my own work. Like, okay, this isn't what I want, but part of this is what I want, so I'm going to work off of that or try to move in that direction versus, oh, this other part isn't what I want, so I need to fix that part that isn't. You know what I mean? Like, I think that it's sort of an additive versus subtractive sort of artistic process. But, you know, different strokes for different folks. You know what I mean? I think all this stuff really depends on who you're trying to satisfy. If your satisfaction comes from commercial success, well, that's one thing. If your satisfaction comes from just commercial success in exactly the kind of art you want to do, that's another thing. If it comes from just making really great stuff, that's a whole other thing, you know, and you have some other way to support yourself. You know, there's how many of the people in our group are professional photographers who have to make their living doing it?
Right.
Maybe 20%, right. You know, and in some ways those guys are lucky, right? In the fact that they don't have any of the weight to do all the other stuff, you know,
not doing it professionally.
Yeah. Yeah. By not doing it professionally, well, they don't have the weight of,
there is, you know, if the industry or the market doesn't buy what you're selling, then, and that's how you need to make your living, then maybe you need to change what you're selling to get them to buy it.
Sure. Yeah. Right. But, you know, like for me, I make a fine living doing the stuff that I do and then try to find something to move out of that in my own time or when I have the chances to. If I was, you know, couldn't pay my bills, well, then, yeah, then you got to change the rules if you want to stay in photography or whatever it is. It's a weird thing. It's like, you know, like the friend of the show, Todd Reynolds, said, like, you know, success is being able to keep doing it, you know? And for me, that's more my definition than lots of money in my bank account or something else, you know?
Right.
So, but I have a certain way of looking at it from the point of view, you know, like I was telling you before the show, it's like my uncle had a heart bypass surgery, you know, yesterday. And it's like, you know what? he may have died on the operating table or while shoveling snow when he had the heart attack or whatever it is, right? I can't worry too much about whether or not I have a bigger house or something. You know what I mean? Like, right. I'm so lucky in so many ways. Any more worrying about that stuff is just, it feels petty to me. You know, it feels like the kind of stuff that I really won't care about later. So why am I caring about it now? Maybe I'm wrong about that, but you know, everyone to each his own. But choosing when you try to make a change, I think that when it comes down to it, it's kind of like breaking up in a bad relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you may know something needs to change, but you may not have the energy to do it.
Right.
Or don't know where else you wanted to go or what else you want to do. But there's a point, there's a seesaw where things tilt to the other side where it's inevitable
mm-hmm.
that it's going to end. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, yeah. And I mean, so far we've been talking about this within the realm of just trying something different within the realm of what you do.
Yeah.
Not going from, you know,
me start shooting landscapes.
Yeah. Right. Or going from advertising and art direction to photography.
Yeah. You know, oh, I see. Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
changing
entirely, right.
Saying, you know what, this isn't going to work. I am going to stop trying to do this professionally.
Right.
Because what I shoot isn't there. I need to go figure out some other way to pay the bills so that I don't start to hate doing what I love.
Well, look, there are a lot of people who would do the stuff that you and I used to do and would kill to have that job, you know, doing advertising stuff or working at Universal or wherever else. Right.
Right. Right. Right.
Like there are people who those jobs are their dream jobs. Now they may be their dream jobs because they don't know what it actually entails, you know,
yeah.
or what the business is actually like, but like putting that aside for the moment, that is not that happens all the time. And, but it might not be a right fit for you, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that people who are doing jobs that truly make them unhappy when they have any option of doing something else, I don't understand that. You know, like it's one thing if like you have no choice and you have to put food on the table and you have five kids and this is the only job you have because you have no education and you live in a town where there's no, you know, yes, there are situations where people are really in the crap and there's not much you can do about it, you know, or,
right.
you know, it's harder. But any of us sort of like, you know, upper middle class people who have college educations who are doing some job that they fell into that they're not super happy about or really hate going into every day. Come on, there's a way to change that. You just
maybe. Yeah. I mean, I maybe, maybe.
What's maybe. The maybe?
Well, what did my mother used to say? You're not ready to hear it until you're ready to hear it.
Oh, okay. Right. That's sort of along the lines of my relationship thing where it is like, until you know that it has to change, it's not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there needs to be this point at which you go, yeah, I really do need to find a new job, you know? Like maybe I could do something like that. And then there's the whole cycle. It's sort of like you're at the top of the hill and then you start going down the hill on the other side.
Right.
And it's less about fighting the old as it is finding the new.
Yeah. But that finding the new, I've been working on that for a decade.
Maybe you just haven't gone long enough. Maybe you got, you know, maybe it's right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
But that's an answer that you can, it's like you, there's absolutely no roadmap to that, right? There's no guarantees. There's no whatever. There's,
right.
there's lots of people who have much smaller, lower, these are all the wrong words. Who don't have any idea what they want to be doing. Like, honestly, any idea, like don't mm-hmm. have a lot of hobbies. You know, the people who die and you see their obituary and they were like, they had friends and
right.
it's like, oh, come on, really? What did you do with your life? You know, like, and maybe some people just really don't ever find anything that they find that interesting. You know, those people are the really sad people to me because it's like this loss of potential.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you had this opportunity and nothing came of it.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's actually, I've been kind of plotting a conversational series of I'd like to talk to people who made drastic changes in their lives and why they made those changes, who went in a different direction, and what prompted it. What was, you know, what was the impetus for starting to think about it, and what was the final straw, and what are the results?
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by it, and you know, maybe therein lies the sort of the answer to my decade long search is I keep coming back to stories and conversations, and maybe that's what it is.
Why is it in your head that isn't an obvious place to go, or what's stopping you? You know what I mean? Like what's,
I don't know.
Is it defining what that is specifically? Like, is it getting down to the, like, exactly what am I going to ask them and what is this going to be? Is that the problem? Or is it the overall overarching feeling of it? That's the problem.
I think it's the bigger portion. I don't like when I go into a conversation or an interview, I typically don't have a lot of questions written down. I have sort of themes that I'd like to follow, or I have, you know, maybe bullet points, but I much prefer rabbit holes and just to see where things end up. But that's hard to put on a business card. You know, it's hard to put on a roadmap of what you want to do and where you want to go.
Does it need to be that specific?
I don't know. And maybe that's what I'm fighting with. Maybe, you know, again, back to mother, let go and let God, mm-hmm. You know, maybe I'm holding on to a definition too tight.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have a friend who was in town yesterday, and we had brunch, and she was one of my 365 portrait subjects, and she's a painter, and she teaches painting, and she was telling me about all these crazy, not crazy, but all these, you know, intense plans she has, where she's written this ebook and she's sold a bunch of copies and she has this mailing list and she wants to build up this, that, and the other thing, and her new concept, her new theory is that, like, everything that I do is towards this goal for me, you know? So, like, if it's not towards that goal, it's out. So I'm writing this ebook so that this publisher sees it, so that they can publish my book, and that gives me credentials so that I can get higher things in this, but, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, this, it's very much a dominoes, like a positive domino effect.
I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot.
Yeah. I feel the same way in many ways. Part of me says, yeah, but that takes away all of the chance, right? That takes away all of the happy accidents.
Sure.
So,
But for some people who need that level of focused energy,
yep,
that may be a brilliant solution.
Yep, it's again, this is like a to each his own, right? These are like different playbooks that could work for different people.
Right. Right.
Some people, it's all about, like, I'm going to go to college, and then I'm going to get my graduate degree, and then I'm going to go get a PhD, and then I'm going to get out of school at the age of 34 and find my first job.
Yeah. And then I'm not going to get a job in my chosen field.
Right. Well, you know, that maybe is it too, right? Yeah, but you know, but I know other people, a friend of mine and his wife, like, he supported her while she went to medical school at Columbia. Mm-hmm, and, you know, then they knew they were going to move somewhere else for her to do a residency, and they did, and they bought a house and whatever it is, and they had two kids, and, like, they had a plan 15 years ago, and everything went exactly according to plan, and there they are at the end of the plan. Now, I'm not inside his mind. I don't know what goes on. Maybe he's happy. Maybe he's not happy. I don't, you know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe they got to the end of the plan, and he was like, okay, now what? Or maybe he got to the end of the plan and said, wow, we did it. Now we can, I don't know, coast or relax, or whatever.
Right,
it is, right,
right, right.
But it's different things. I tend to, some people I think want to know the future. They want to have a plan. They want to go that way, and they want to accomplish things according to a list that they've made.
Yeah, I think I'm somewhere in the middle. I want to believe that I'm moving towards something, and I'm willing to hold on lightly to what that definition of something is. I just would like that something to be lightly defined.
you want it all.
I do.
And maybe that's some of your ennui.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe it's about trying one tack to the other, and if it doesn't work, switch.
Yeah.
All in on the, it's very specific, there is no ambiguity.
Mm-hmm.
And do that for 6 months and see where it gets you. And if at the end of it you're like, yeah, this is unsatisfying to me, or I'm missing that magic sauce that you get when things are a little more loose.
Right. Right.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm spitballing here, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's, you know, but sometimes, you know, you meander along. I've been doing this with any seriousness since 2007. So 2007 to 2014. So 7 years, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I started at age 32. So if I had started at age 18 or 16, like most people would in the arts, like I started painting in high school, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
I would be early 20s, 25 now in my career, you know? So even though I'm 39, I don't beat myself up because I'm 39 and I'm not exactly where I want to be. I think to myself, I've only been doing it for 7 years.
Right.
You know, so don't beat yourself up about it, you know?
Right.
I don't know. It's trying to doing something different for me. It was when my dad died and I was like, you know what, this is what he got from doing his work all those years. That's, it's not worth giving up what makes me happy in order to get.
Right.
I made that decision and that decision's fine with me. Do I get frustrated sometimes? Sure. You know, nothing's perfect, but do I regret leaving advertising? Never, not once, you know? So there's two sides of it, but I don't have children. I don't, you know what I mean? Like those things aren't goals for me, or at least, you know, they're not things that I feel like I'm missing out on because of this, at least not now, you know?
Right. Right.
So for other people, they have other goals that everything has to get weighed, you know, in the balance, where you want to live, what you want to do, who you want to be with.
Right.
Do you want kids? Do you need a big house? Do you, you know, whatever
right,
it is.
Right.
It's a tough thing, but
it is,
but I don't think that trying something new, I don't think anybody's ever made a big move. Like, let's say I left advertising. I tried photography for a while and it didn't work out. Like, let's say I did it for 3 years and I was like, yeah, this isn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think anybody who did that and really went all in on whatever the new thing was ever really regretted it and said, wow, I wasted time? Or do you think they said, well, that was an experience and now I've learned that I can go do something new and that allows me to go try something else new and know that I'm not going to die?
Well, certainly that's the more desirable response, you know. Yeah. But I think at some point many people, myself included, have gone, well, you know, that was an experiment that didn't work, and I, you know, on a lot of levels, I really wish I hadn't done it.
Okay,
I wish I would have done this instead.
But you know, whenever you talk to, whenever you see interviews, speaking of, you know, Charlie Rose,
yeah,
you see an interview with Jeff Bezos. And he says, I failed 10 times before Amazon came around. You know what I mean?
And that's the thing is, you know,
failure is part of the process.
It is. And if I change, you know, there's the butterfly effect. If I change one thing in the course of my life, would I be sitting here doing the show? Would I, you know, be living where I am? Would I be, you know,
living in Malibu?
That's right. Would I be setting out on the projects that I'm working on now? Probably not.
Right. Right.
So I have to believe that I am on the path that I need to be on at any given moment.
Yeah. Look, so. I think that the primary purpose of life is to be happy. And because yes, it's to reproduce. Yeah. Okay. But it's the same thing for clams. You know what I mean? Like what makes us different, you know? And I think ultimately, it's like there should be some, I don't believe in God, but there should be some God in your life in the sense that that core thing, you know, what was our metaphor the other day of digging into the earth to the center, you know,
right, the magma.
Yeah. There should be some of that in everyone's life. Sort of that sort of just unbridled joy, whatever gives you that.
Well, and I think
that's
think you're
what
right.
You should do more of.
And I think lately I have tried to give over to something outside of myself to do the driving for a while.
You want to give up control?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I think, you know, it's like I'm driving and somebody's going, you know what, you should go here. And I'm like, don't touch the wheel. Don't touch the wheel. Well, where are you going? Well, I don't know, but don't touch the wheel.
Right.
You know, I'm driving, but I have no idea where I'm driving to. So if in my sort of, you know, existential, when is it time to try something different? I'm going to let go of the wheel for a while.
Right. And who do you imagine driving?
I don't know.
Is Jesus going to be your co-pilot, Jeffrey?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But the way I've been doing it,
if you had a creative partner, you know, like where somebody who was there with you, like you did work with or whatever it is, who said, no, we're going to go in this direction. Would you go, you know what? I'm going to let you make the calls for the next few months just to see where it goes.
Yes.
You would. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Because the experience of me at the wheel, I'm not driving myself into a ditch, but I also feel like I'm just on this sort of nondescript interstate.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. The thing is that if, do you feel like you're somewhere where no one else is, or do you feel like you're just in the mediocrity?
I feel like there are, I am certainly not the first person to be here.
Right.
You know, there be others here, you know? And maybe it's I live by and large in a vacuum. I make decisions by and large in a vacuum. And maybe it's time to, you know, let in some pressure.
Okay. Hmm.
You know, maybe it's time to equalize.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big talk.
Well, it's a big show.
is this what people tune in for?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think so.
You want to keep going with this, or you want to move on?
I don't know that we can keep going. I'd like to get some feedback. Chime in, folks. Would love to hear. Just say something in the group, or you know, email us at podcast@ontakingpictures.com with your thoughts. Are you someplace where you feel like, you know, are there maps for these territories, or are we charting a new course? Are we somehow, you know, out in the wilderness? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'd love to hear what other people think.
Yeah. I think we're about 40 minutes in. Where do you want to go from here? Should we move on with this other stuff, or should we talk about one of our sponsors and then save some stuff for next time?
Your call.
You know what? Let's talk about one of our sponsors. Cause, yeah, we're about that time in.
Let's do that.
We got a returning sponsor this time, which FreshBooks. Jeffrey, let me ask you a question. Are
yes,
you still
sir.
Using Word or Excel to create your invoices?
Not those, but something equally mundane. Yes.
Do you use a shoebox of receipts to keep track of your expenses?
Honest to God, I do. I do. And I just bought some new shoes. So I just started a new shoebox for 2014. I swear it's a Columbia shoebox. It's sitting on my dresser. I kid you not.
Jeffrey, do you know that you could save time and get paid faster with FreshBooks? It's the easy way to send invoices, manage expenses, and track your time. FreshBooks is a simple cloud accounting solution that's helping thousands of new entrepreneurs and small business owners just like you, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Save time billing and getting paid faster.
I need help.
With FreshBooks, you can create invoices online, capture and track expenses on the go, and get real-time business reports with just a few simple clicks. You can try FreshBooks for free, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Sign up today at getfreshbooks.com. And here's the delicious part.
Getfreshbooks.com.
Yep. Here's the delicious part. FreshBooks, just for On Taking Pictures listeners. Actually, it's for, you know, all the 5x5 shows. But On Taking Pictures especially. Every day, they're giving away a birthday cake away to someone who signs up for a new account from this show.
So you can get cake?
You can get cake. I think what they do is they actually contract a local bakery and send you a birthday cake.
Wow.